guys are all a bunch of thirsty dudes anyway, so I figured I would just throw some stuff up on the screen that would make everybody happy. And I think I accomplished that task just by looking down in the chat right now. It definitely seems that way. USA is beating the hell out of Yemen, though. Like, those ladies, they're getting it on the speed bag. But I'm telling you right now, over inside Yemen, they're feeling it. We've got a lot of airstrikes that are going down. And while all those airstrikes are going down over inside the Middle East, I think it's important to kind of remind everybody why the U.S. is doing what they're doing. Because, 18 months ago, Hamas decided it would be a good idea, along with a bunch of other Palestinian people, to go in and just demolish the hell out of Israel. They thought it'd be a really good idea for some reason to just go in and just murder a bunch of freaking civilians, strangle babies, and have their way with them. U.S. citizen, veteran, U.S. Army vet, becoming a true supporter. That is one hell of a name. I hope I don't have to repeat it too much. Welcome to the club, my friend. Trump tonight, also over at the, what is it, like the Republican dinner or whatever, he got some good words from one of the hostages.
Thank you.
Just got released.
Thank you very much, President Trump. I'm here, and I'm alive. President Trump, you saved my life. You saved the life of 33 hostages that, because of your efforts, and you're setting the hostage crisis at the high priority of what you're doing among all of the enormous issues and things that you're dealing with since you came into your position as President of the United States. You set the hostage crisis at the highest priority. You got 33 of us home alive. We all owe our lives to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And please, please continue your tremendous efforts and your tremendous actions and your tremendous accomplishments. Continue, and we will get, with your help, all of the remaining 59 hostages still in Gaza back home. Thank you.
You know, it is astonishing to me that people do not realize that there's still 59 bodies, whether warm or cold, that got taken that are still over inside of Gaza. Tristan Allen says, hey, Matt, had to make a new Discord, need a link to Discord. I ended up dropping a brand new link up over in our post today over on the main YouTube channel. So if you are a true supporter, if you just signed up, you can go over there right now. I dropped it just this morning. You got to be a true supporter in order to see it. It's what, price of a cup of coffee a month. Go get it. Keeps this channel running, keeps us being able to do the things that we do. I'm not going to waste your guys' time tonight. And I am going to end up taking a Q&A here at the end of it. We're going to go over in the Discord. So if you guys are a brand new true supporter, make sure you get up in there, grab that link, because here at the end of this session, we're going to be talking about whatever it is that makes your guys' insides tickled pink. I don't know, but we'll go over that. Benny Voorheaven. Hello, Matt. Just letting you know, I got a notification. Awesome. It's about that time. Like I said, you know, I ended up winning the, how do you want to say it? I ended up winning the freaking raffle with good old Al Jazeera. So that's good. But then President Trump, he goes from having things like that to just like shitting on Alum shit.
All of the difficulties and all of the fake investigations and the Adam Shifty Shifts. Can you believe this guy? He's got the smallest neck I've ever seen. And the biggest head. We call them watermelon head. How could that big fat face stand on a neck that looked like this finger? How?
This guy runs the country. It's insane. This guy right here runs the country. He is the one that was like, you know what? Bomb him. Bomb Yemen.
It was the weirdest thing. It's a mystery. Nobody can understand it. But he's one of the most dishonest human beings I've ever seen. And, you know, how we can allow people like that to run in office is a shame, but we did. He was in charge of the witch hunt, you know? He was in charge of the fake witch hunt with Russia. It was a made-up.
I can't do it right now. I physically can't do it. It's just too much, like, Trump for me for one day. I've been listening to a lot of this crap today. I've been trying to keep up with the news and everything else that's going on, and just kind of, like, keeping a watch out there. And Secretary General of the UN today came out with a pretty, well, I'm sure in his mind, it was like a pretty wild statement. And he ended up posting about it. And like this one little post by the Secretary General ended up making its way, like, I don't even know. I saw news articles written on this stupid little post that he ended up putting out. And this is it right here. This is a statement. More than a month has passed without a drop of aid in Gaza. Now, we talked about this morning. Over inside of the Gaza Strip, it has been about 30 days, and you have allegedly, early reports, right around 10,000 Egyptians that are stacking up over inside the Sinai Peninsula, getting ready to go ride on Rafah. Allegedly, the Egyptian military is more than okay with letting them go up to the Rafah border and attempting to open the border crossing again to try and get more humanitarian aid in there. The King of Jordan, the President of Egypt, along with Macron, and God, like I, for some reason, I thought Macron might actually have some balls. I almost gave him praise the other night. And then he just tuck-tailed and ran out of the freaking Red Sea the other day. And he was over in the Sinai Peninsula, like, what, yesterday? No, this morning. If you're overseas right now and you're watching this, it would have been yesterday your time. But this morning, our time, so evening, whatever, daytime, on April 8th, this guy was running around over inside the Sinai Peninsula, visiting all of the different places where everything was going to be coming in. And they just wanted to say, look, we need to open this up. And because of all of that, trying to get humanitarian aid and whatnot into Gaza, and the Egyptians are losing their damn minds, getting ready to go try to cross the border. So that within itself is a huge problem. Anyways, back to Secretary General of the UN. He says, as aid has dried up and floodgates of horror have reopened, it's time to end the dehumanization. Apparently, nobody's been treating them like humans over there. John Wilson coming in, gifting out 2-0 Speak the Truth memberships. Protect civilians and release the hostages, ensuring life and aid, and renew the ceasefire. Holy freaking hell. These guys literally want to renew the ceasefire. Like, who is in charge of these knuckleheads over there? Now, I brought it up this morning on this morning's stream. If you guys didn't caught up on it, it's okay. But all of the civilians uprising over in Gaza right now, you know, there was a brand new one that I ended up seeing that had like came out today about the civilians that were uprising. It's actually pretty freaking cool, if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. Let me see. Is it this one? I think it might be this one. Let me see if it's this. Should be if I did everything right. No, of course it's not. Dang it, Matt. They're rising up again over there, right? They're coming up and they're freaking like doing all this crap. The problem is if they end up doing that, if they end up uprising, if they continue to do this and they have another ceasefire and Israel backs out of the Gaza Strip, every single one of those civilians is going to end up having their damn head cut off. And any chance of regime change inside of the Gaza Strip is gone. Israel can go back in and they can crush Hamas, but what they will not do with idiots like Macron in charge trying to head all this other crap along with like the freaking King of Jordan and Egypt over there. It's just not going to happen. I saw somebody down here that said, I just retired out of third group. Tell me if I'm lying. Every single one of them is going to have their dang head cut off. Like they're done. There is not going to be another uprising. This is Israel. Like I said the other day, this is Israel's one shot to get this right. So for that reason and that reason alone, I highly doubt there's going to be another ceasefire effort over inside of the Gaza Strip. In my opinion, it can't be. I just don't see it happening at all. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it does end up happening. You know, crazier shit would happen. Now, according to, and I've been meaning to dig a little bit deeper into this because I figured there's going to be some more stuff that goes into it. Boston Dum Dum coming in. Just found your channel and I love it. Great work. Thank you, Boston. Really, really do appreciate it. There's actually a lot of freaking work that goes into doing this every single day. Dear friends, this is Willie Robb, says he's in a time of need. I had my power cut off today. Don't like asking for help, but I started a new job and I haven't been paid yet. It's a tough day. Dang, dude. That freaking blows. You are the second person I have actually heard that from today. That is insane. That's just never a good time. I am really sorry to hear that. Willie, if you are over on the Discord, which you are, you're a member of 11 months, so you've been around for a long time. Why don't you go talk to people over the Discord, submit a ticket over in the Discord and get with the mods and see what we can do to help you out, man. That tends to go pretty good over there in the Discord. We had a huge freaking family inside of there. Somebody wanted to know, he also was asking what group I was in. 10th group, you know, the good old originals, not like you savages over in third. Right, this morning, Israeli officials from Jerusalem allegedly ended up shutting down 6 UNRWA schools inside of East Jerusalem, and people are pissed about, like, people are really pissed about it because everything over inside East Jerusalem is getting shut down that's associated with UNRWA. Why? Because they're connected to freaking terrorist network known as Hamas and the PIJ, and they're going around and they're whining and they're freaking complaining about it. Oh, I forgot to tell you how I ended up responding to the Secretary General of the UN. I ended up telling him, good, I would rather my taxpayer money go to bombs versus humanitarian aid. It's like, I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's been 18 months and there's still freaking dozens of hostages held inside tunnels in the Gaza Strip that have been getting raped, beaten, and everything else. So it's time to get them the hell out of there. Now, I'm pulling this up before I do it because I remember I told you guys that over inside Yemen, let me pull this up real quick. It's been a while since I did it. I think I need to do a new heat map of Yemen for you guys and get you guys kind of spun up to par because we're about to take a trip off over the good old pond and check out some good old-fashioned airstrikes that are taking place over inside of Yemen. All right, but over inside of Yemen, when we go in there, obviously this is where you have Ansarullah or the Houthis, same freaking terrorist organization going by a different name, but the official one that's written on the foreign terrorist watch list is Ansarullah for the United States government, okay? And pretty much where you take Sana'a right here in the middle and you just draw a line, okay, straight down from freaking Saudi Arabia and go right past Sana'a and you come right down here. This is the vast majority of the civilian population right over here in this whole little general area. This right here encompasses the vast majority of the civilian population. All this crap right here. This all the way over here to the Red Sea is what the Houthis control. And I wanted to give you guys an official source for when I tell you how much of the civilian population the Houthis actually control. So when I say Yemen and the Yemeni people, that is quite literally what I mean. When I say we're bombing the crap out of Yemen, this is what I mean. Houthis continued to control approximately one-third of the country's territory. It's about on par. Including 70-80% of the population. Literally 70-80% of the population lives in that tiny little strip. The official Yemeni government that's technically over there, internationally recognized or whatever, they control all this crap. All this crap all the way over here. And you know what lives over there? Nobody, nothing. Camels and people whacking them on the butt with freaking sticks. That's what lives over there. So all of this bombing that's taking place over in these main cities and everything, that is the Houthis territory. That is what they control. Stizzy, member of 17 months, says, love you, love what you do, Matt. Keep up the great work. Now, I saw something else that was really interesting about here, and this would be for all of those different people that like human rights and all of those other things when we start talking about who exactly it is that we're like beating the hell out of. I want you to take a look at some of like the key words that you can end up finding in here on this document. Again, this is the 2022 Report of International Religious Freedom inside of Yemen from the U.S. Department of State. Pentum Thorne coming in, gifting out $20. Appreciate you, brother. I want you to check this out. I'm just going to type in this one word. And once you know it, I'm able to find it. Open Doors said pressure on Christians in all spheres of life, including education, employment, and life, and the ability to observe religious practices was at extreme levels. According to Open Doors, converts married to Muslims were at risk of losing custody of their children, and managers denied promotions to employees they suspected of being Christians. This is Christians being persecuted over inside of Yemen. You know what else it included? Look at this little highlighted word down here. Let me zoom in on this little bit of highlight that I have down here. The organization also reported that hospitals refused to care for Christians. Well, that's very nice of them. I'm sure they're just sticking up for the people of Gaza because it's what's right for humanity. Open Doors stated that Muslims who converted to Christianity were considered to have brought dishonor upon their families and faced death threats and risk banishment from their tribes if they did not return to Islam. The NGO said Christian women experienced sexual harassment, rape, and forced marriages to Muslim men, which would also include rape. Why? Because they're Christians. And this is the type of crap that's taking place over in Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. And I think it's high time that we just start pointing this shit out to like everybody and letting them know that these people are not freaking some, like, whatever pedestal they end up putting them on. These are some of the worst human beings on the planet. They commit some of the worst atrocities that are out there. Literally raping people, marrying them off to Muslim men. You know what other radical Islamic organization does that? Freaking ISIS. ISIS goes in and they steal freaking women and they marry them off to men and then they impregnate them via rape. And then they take those boys and they freaking raise them up and then they turn them into little chai boys and use them as human shields. That's what they do. So when we're talking about bombing the shit out of Yemen, keep in mind that this is what we're talking about bombing the shit out of. Getting rid of these people, these worthless piles of scum. They're not heroes. They're not looking out for anybody. They are literally some of the most worthless, vile humans on the planet. So when you see these bombs exploding, just know that this is what they are exploding on, period. It is absurd to me that people want to stand up for them. Dude, we've been blasting these suckers so hard that they have literally had to come up with a brand new, like, they are losing their arms left and right. They're losing their arms left and right to where they had to put out this brand new training video today. It'd have been a lot cooler if he actually picked it up and freaking like fired it afterwards or ran a functions check, but he didn't. So he's a no-go at this station. Hey, that's a really good question over there. By the way, that wasn't the Houthis. That's just some random freaking jihadist playing around with his feet. Question, Andrea says, from your time in Islamist-controlled areas, what have you gathered for as to why Islam is obsessed with sex and rape culture? Well, that's very simple, actually. And you can gather it from, number one, the Quran, and number two, the Hadith. That's why they're obsessed with it. That's where they're able to take all this stuff and actually justify it. If you go back several months, I ended up having a dude by the name, he goes by like the handle of Hebrew Hammer, that ended up coming on. If you go back and you look, what you'll end up seeing is the Prophet Muhammad being grasped by the angel Gabriel. And it pretty much explains everything you need to know. You got to go back a couple months, but I think I can't remember what I labeled it, something about truth about Islam or something else. But all of it is straight out of the Hadith, and it's not from little crappy ones. It's from like some of the most like highest prestigious ones, like Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, right? So go look at those if you haven't seen it yet. It is a very long explanation that goes into all of that crap. It is absolutely amazing. You guys need to go check that out. But probably one of the best freaking explanations that you're going to end up giving. So when we have these people that are stuck over here, I literally saw people complaining about this video that I'm about to put up on the screen. All right, this one right here. I saw people complaining about this. Sky God coming in and gifting out 20, that's 20 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you guys and all of your generosity tonight as we do this. That was an airstrike that took place over this last weekend. In case you missed it, I know it's Tuesday, but I know some of you guys missed the stream last night because notifications were not getting pushed out by YouTube because YouTube decided to screw us all over, right? Because that's just how they go. Ended up taking about 70 of their key leaders out. So when they're over there and they're gathered up in that circle, they allegedly were out there to discuss a coordinated attack on U.S. warships over inside of the Red Sea. Now, obviously, they didn't get that far because a U.S. bomb ended up making its way out there. And probably like one of my favorite things after this is what Trump ended up like sending out. Yeah. Not just one man down, dude, like a lot of them. Look at all, you see all those really glowy spots on your screen? That's all chunks of human goo, right? Like that's exactly what that is that just went out, probably in like some other metal and smoking hot metal and everything else. Anyways, so earlier today when the sun was still up, and I think it started right about the time the sun was up and it started going down, right over here inside of Yemen, right outside the capital city of Sana'a is where all of these airstrikes actually started taking place. And there's a mountain right over here outside of that. And that's why this little marker is on this mountain. And this mountain is what is rumored to have a good chunk of a lot of the Houthi munitions and things like that in it. Now, if you guys observed the live session this morning, if you didn't, we kind of like talk about how you can go over and you could actually have these airstrikes, even in these hardened structures like mountains, actually go in and impact them and start knocking some of these targets out. And the easiest and the best way that I can describe it to you is essentially, yes, we might have one bomb that can freaking puncture, I don't know, call it 50 meters into the ground. Okay. And this place that we need to get to is 200. Well, just because that bomb only goes down 50 meters doesn't mean that we can't touch it anymore. All it means is we put another bomb on it, followed by another bomb and another bomb and another bomb, and essentially just digging a damn hole, right? A shovel is only so big, right? Like what, 8 inches or something like that? But you can still dig a 30-foot hole with a shovel, and that's exactly how it's done. Vincent Kuznair coming in, he says, Matt's got the big boy pants on top of the naughty girl thong underneath. I don't even know what that means, dude. I seriously don't even know what that means. So Daylight Strike ended up coming in, and again, right outside of Sana'a, up on that mountain, you can actually see where some of those airstrikes were coming in. Now, for the last several weeks, we have had continuous pressure on the Houthis over inside of Yemen, dropping these dang bombs on top of them, right? Going after these big targets in preparation to take them down, because we did warn them that it's going to continue until you freaking stop. It's going to continue until you stop. Some of the bombs started falling inside of the residential areas inside of the city. Now, why would those bombs fall inside the residential areas inside of the city? Again, I want you to take a look, okay, at how close this mountaintop is to the city. Where do you think all of the pieces of crap live that work inside of those tunnels? Where do you think all of those key leaders live that work up on that mountainside? Do you think they just sleep out in the mountains in little tents and wait to conduct jihad? Is that what you think? Or do you think they go back into the cities and they start raping their Christian wives and taking their little freaking children as chai boys and running them off somewhere? That's what they do. And that's where you find them. And honestly, that's what ends up being like a good choke point. So when you guys see these airstrikes in the middle of the night and things like that taking place, that's why. Because you end up getting patterns of life off of these people. You end up getting patterns of life off of these people. And then you end up going in and just dropping more and more on them. I see, wait, what, says Matt was wrong again, second time ever, as I ran, not bombed days ago. Yeah, And again, things are subject to change. I said I would be surprised if it didn't happen. And what ended up happening was we ended up having Macron, the Egyptian president, and the King of Jordan that all wanted to come together and start talking about peace talks and ceasefire agreements. Also, Iran ended up coming to the table and agreeing to have some sort of a nuclear disarmament talk. Now, that talk, thank you, wait, what? Because I almost forgot about it. My ADD just kicked in. Now, that talk that ended up happening and going down, as Trump announced yesterday, is supposed to go down this Saturday up over inside of Amman, Jordan. Okay, so Amman, Jordan, on Saturday, they're supposed to have this peace talk or this nuclear disarmament. Well, Bibi Netanyahu ended up coming out today making a statement about it. And what Bibi said was that either way, Iran's going to get disarmed. Either the U.S. is going, like, this is the deal that they're going for, and they won't accept anything else. Either the United States government, U.S. military, whoever, is going to end up going inside and blowing up their nuclear freaking facilities and program. They're going to keep nuclear energy, just not their nuclear weapons program. So either we go inside and blow that shit up, or we're going to take it out from the sky. Bibi made that announcement today. I can go over and grab the video for you want, if you want to hear it, or you can just take my word for it. And all of that's supposed to go down on Saturday. Now, I highly, highly doubt they're going to end up agreeing to that. When I said that we're going to end up bombing the Middle East, I ended up telling you this crap a long time ago, that Iran is going to get its freaking poo-poo lit up when Trump gets into office. I don't have time to go back and find the clip, but I told you it was going to go down. I'm not wrong. I'm just getting a little timeline off here because intel drives operations. Obviously, I didn't have that intelligence that all of that crap was coming down the pipeline, right? But it's a little bit too obvious. Oh, wait, what? Says, just joking. You're always in the zone, Matt. Well, my bad. I gotta defend myself sometimes, you know? Vincent Kuznar says, just bringing comedy to the chat to lighten up the mood. Yeah, you guys are more than welcome to do that because it's some serious stuff. Well, let's go over and get some bombs dropping. Let's see what actually took place on the ground. Might be some mangled bodies in here. I hope not. Oh, yep. No, that's a kid being carried away. That's what that is. Yeah, so civilian casualties. Not funny. Civilian casualties do occur during warfare. It is a thing. It's called collateral damage for a reason. These people live inside the cities. They live inside villages. They live inside houses. Okay. All of those things are ending up getting struck. Now, we're going to take the smallest munition possible and end up dropping it on them. We're not dropping the MOP on top of these suckers in order to take them out, but we are going to be dropping other bombs. Like this one, for example. Let me get this up. Now, this is one hell of a strike when it ends up coming in. I want you guys to check and observe how it's that straight freaking plume that comes up, and then you have things burning off to the side. So what that probably is a bunker buster going in and slamming into the ground, and then all of that freaking explosion's coming out, and all of those are like munitions that are cooking off into the sky as it gets freaking blown. Hollywood Marine coming in, gifting out 10 Speak the Truth memberships. Well, they're either munitions or Houthis are highly flammable. To be honest, I'm not really quite sure which one it is. Let's get this next video up on the screen for you. And it looks like a different angle coming in that same mountainside. Now, that gives you like a really good idea for how far away the sucker actually is, because you can actually see. Hold on. Wait for it. Oh, come on. Scrub, 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 scrub. Oh, man. Doesn't want to scrub. There it is. You can actually see these explosions and whatnot going off on the mountainside, and then you can't even hear them. Like, again, that freaking explosion's moving at the sound of light versus the sound of, or the speed of sound. The speed of light as opposed to the speed of sound. Wow, man, it's been that kind of a day. So that's why you're getting that freaking little thing up there. You will hear the different booms and the bangs as these things go off, depending on the distance. There you go. Yeah, no goats being thrown into the sky on that one. And if they are, maybe we can't see them, but they're definitely out there somewhere. Here's another one.
God. I got your coat. I'm to the BC Chicken. يا الله سلط عليهم يا ربي احرق طائراتهم يا الله سلط عليهم يا ربي يا الله سلط عليهم
اقعد
هنا الحين
Jake said, put Matt in charge of the missiles. Jake, you've lost your damn mind. You know exactly what would happen if Matt was put in charge of every single one of the freaking bombs that we have over in the United States of America. I would be moving so many freaking strategic stockpiles. It's not even funny, just to make sure this whole freaking place like gets lit up like a Christmas tree. Like, I don't even think there'd be enough left over for Iran after I got done with this, but I would probably save plenty of them. U.S. CENTCOM ended up dropping these freaking images earlier today. Showing a bunch of our freaking bombs getting ready to get loaded up onto the freaking aircraft. And I want you to take a look at these. I want you to take a look at how many they were loading up. These ended up getting published this morning, all right, by CENTCOM. So CENTCOM ends up putting these out early this morning, showing all of the images. And then we had this much larger bombing campaign that ended up coming out of Sana'a. Now, currently, what we have asset-wise that's heading over to the Middle East is two aircraft carriers, all right? We were not using the bombers that are staged all the way down in Diego Garcia for that fireworks show today. We were just using kind of assets that are hanging out over inside of the Middle East. That's what we have. All right. That's all we're using. Our assets that we have hanging outside of the Red Sea and everything else. Now we have plenty more that are over there on the ground. I saw yet another image of aerial defense assets that are again being moved in and prepared to go into the Middle East. And also, the Secretary of the Army was over visiting troops in the Middle East and ended up sharing a photograph of him with a bunch of other troops showing off like HIMARS and things like that, letting them know that like we, the United States of America, are prepared to go to continue to whoop butt on these folks. So the question is after these alleged peace talks or nuclear disarmament talks are supposed to be taking place on Saturday, is Iran actually going to disarm? I don't think anybody is expecting them to do it. And yesterday, Trump said it's going to be very, very bad for Iran if they don't come around. He said it's not going to turn out good for him. Thirsty Sloth says new forest coming to the Middle East. Am sure they will make good fertilizer. Appreciate you, Matt. Yeah, dude, the fertilizer for the Middle East is going to be nothing but Islamic jihadists. Wow, man, my freaking, I can't even pronounce it. Hold on. Give you an idea of how much military hardware and equipment is being actually moved into the Middle East. We have numerous rotations of C-5s, which end up carrying, I ended up sharing the math this morning. It's an insane amount of the amount of munitions that these things can carry, but you're talking like 150, 2,000 pound bombs, just like it's actually like 100, I think it was 174, 2,000 pound bombs by weight can fit on a C-5, but you got to figure load configuration, so knock like 20 or 30 of them off. Dude, either way, that's a buttload. And we've had C-17s and C-5s rotating in and out of the Middle East going over there. Now, presumably, we know that some of them are dropping off air defense assets over in the region. So, great. But the other thing that we're doing is we're moving aircraft carriers in from Asia and then also over off the United States Pacific Command region or whatever, however the hell the Navy does that. So, all of those freaking boats and everything that's moving in, not to mention like the C-17s, the C-5s. I saw lots of other like lift aircraft that were going in there. And so we're going to keep going after it. We're going to keep doing it. And people are like whining and complaining about the amount of money that the United States is spending in order to take out the Houthis. They really are. They're like, oh my God, the United States has blown like $2 billion or whatever the hell it is on the Houthis at this point in time. But what they are failing to understand and recognize is the actual significance that this area has on the freaking like global economy, All right. Like massive, massive amounts on the global economy and also how it actually helps out Russia. If you guys have sat around here, watched the channel before, you guys are true supporters. Good on you. We will like, I don't want to blow my freaking load on that tonight because I've talked about it way too much. But by closing off the Red Sea, what they've effectively done is cause a 10x increase in all of the merchant traffic that now has to go around the Horn of Africa. So it's taking additional time and it's taking additional resources and it's making it harder. Number one, all right, for oil to get distributed amongst the Middle East and Europe and Asia, like all these other freaking places, right? Number two, it's actually helping out Russia's war effort over inside of Ukraine. So by reopening the Red Sea, not only are we screwing Iran over financially, but we are also screwing Russia over in their war efforts. Michael LTNV, I wish I was a CAG officer at this time. Buddy, 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 I don't wish I was an officer at any time, at any point in my life. Now, when we talk about where we're at and where we're arrayed around the Middle East, this is another great graphic that I ended up sharing with you guys this morning. I believe it came from Intel Schizo, if I remember correct. He's the one that shared it, but the source is the American Security Project. Every little thing up on this screen that you see in red, those are all U.S. air bases. All of those little blue anchors, those are all naval facilities. The little green flags, and there's only a couple of them up here, one in Saudi Arabia, a couple down over here in Kuwait, one right outside of freaking Baghdad, and then another one down over here off southern Israel near the Sinai Peninsula. All of that stuff. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget about the tri-border region, all right, on Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. All of those are like U.S. outposts, and those are the places that we're worried about that Iran's going to go after and attack. Now, word on the street is that Iran actually distributed ballistic missiles to their little frickin' Iraqi like terror counterparts. And if we end up attacking Iran, that they will be launching them up over against Europe, allegedly, or after U.S. air bases and several other places. But they're claiming that they have the reach and capability in order to make those other things. Now, all of that's coming after the reports yesterday that Iran told the little frickin' terrorist organization Kataib Hezbollah over inside of Iraq, right, this little frickin' butthole, all right, Iraq right here, ended up telling them that they're welcome to disarm and do what they need to do in order to survive. And it doesn't make sense because we all know that Kataib Hezbollah isn't going to lay anything down. They're just going to continue to fight and continue to wage jihad because that's what they do. But those Patriot missile batteries, things like that, they have continued to get distributed amongst the Middle East. And we have a buttload of them over there, like a huge chunk of like the U.S. Army stockpile is over there. I want to say, how many was it? I think it was like close to 40% or 50% of like the U.S. stockpile of those things is like currently over in the Middle East. If I remember, it is quite a bit that we currently have over there. Over a dozen C-5s and C-17s in the last 24 hours ended up making their way over there as well. If we want to talk about Gaza, Gaza is great. There's a bunch of other crap going on. But in the meantime, I want to be able to get your guys' questions. I just want to give you guys a quick update. Because I told you guys last night we'd be able to do that. And as I'm getting the Discord up and running, I'm going to put this little video up on the screen for you guys so that you can all lose your damn minds.
We're not able to print anything that has any racist messaging.
What is racist about?
Zionists specifically.
Zionists, not racism, then, and I'm black.
I understand that I am too, but I'm also Arab. So I do understand the definition of Zionism.
I don't know what definition you have, but it's not the definition that I have.
Okay, well, like I said.
Why Discord? Okay, Discord's being weird, so we're gonna have to get that up and running here in just a sec. Why does it always do this to me? And I know some of you guys are saying, dude, use the Discord app, but I'm telling you right now, it gives me problems up over here, so I can't use the Discord app. I've tried it before. So give me just a quick sec. We'll get the sucker up and running, and it'll make its way up. The current video is interlaced, but interference video is not supported. Whatever, dude. Calm your butt down. So apparently it's a YouTube problem that didn't want to have the freaking video up running. Let's try that again. Bam. All right. So now we're up and running over in the Discord. We already got a bunch of people that are over there waiting. I see Chris Hinkliff's already in there with his hand raised. So we're going to go ahead and get to that. Now, that guy that was over there screaming about, Zionism being racist and everything, not only is he dead ass wrong, he's also not even a guy. Just throwing that out there. Ended up going over and finding all of his stuff. Well, I mean, I don't want to get sued. So he is a guy in the transgender sense. Chris, what's up, buddy? Chris, you're going to have to unmute yourself, sir. Chris Hinchcliffe, still muted, my friend. Still muted. Senator, what's up, buddy? Oh, Chris found his mute button. All right, what's up, buddy?
All right, quick question. So I was just thinking, if you think about the tariffs going on to certain countries who might be wanting to not support the U.S. and opening up the strait, do you think Trump might have put more tariffs on them? Just say, hey, if you're not going to support us in global trade with this 10X, like you said, could you think they just put more tariffs on them just for whatever?
He could have, but I think what the real deal is, like personally, I think what like one of the I think the reason why the U.S. kind of wants to do this unilaterally, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't even bother arguing with like the French, because they would end up screwing everything up. Like, seriously, if we end up conducting the strike unilaterally and don't need the French's help, then we also don't need the French's input. And so if we're going over there and just bombing the crap out of Iran, the French undoubtedly would try to make us say, hey, let's maybe take it a little bit easy. We don't have to do a 1 week bombing campaign on Iran. Maybe we just drop a couple here or there and don't really kill anybody and just kind of let them know that we mean business. And that's more like, more or less, I think what ended up happening.
Gotcha. Yep. Thank you very much. Yeah, my brother's doing some training over in Korea with Okinawa stuff. So yeah.
Hell yeah. That's a good place to be. Sinner, yep. I think you're
that's
up next,
it.
Man.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, brother. Sinner, what's up, friend?
What's going on, Matt? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, glad to be talking to you. First of all, I wanted to thank you for your service,
you know,
abroad and what you continue to do still here at home and speaking the truth and keeping us all updated and informed on what's going on. One thing I'd like to kind of say, which is a little bit more of a statement, and then I kind of got two questions for you.
Okay.
The first thing is I find it hard to believe how people have this idea running in their mind that the problem with Iran is not going away. This is, they're going to continue to try and obtain nuclear weapons.
Correct.
At any cost. And we've dealt with this when Trump was his first time in office and he put his sanctions on Iran. And then when Joe Biden came in, he lifted those sanctions because they promised that they would return back to the nuclear deal, which they're not going to. They're already, you've reported on this, they're a threat to global stability and especially to Israel. They're funding Hamas, they're funding the Houthis, the PIJ, Hezbollah, and they're doing all this stuff without nuclear weapons. And it's hard for me to fathom what people think that they're going to continue to do once they do acquire a nuclear weapon. It's right. Not going to get any better. It's not going to be for nuclear deterrence. Nuclear deterrence is for someone that wants to participate on the global scale, and they don't want to participate in that. They chant death to America, death to Israel. So with that statement being made, this is an issue that has to be taken care of. It cannot go on past this administration, because if we were unfortunately lucky enough to get another weak administration in office, Iran would continue to focus on this goal that they're going about, and it would just be a problem later down the road. So my question for you is, if this isn't dealt with through this administration, with Trump at the helm, Pete Hegseth, with everything that we're stacking up over there and getting ready to go and push some shit in, if it's not taken care of now, what continues to make sure that in the future the can's not being kicked down the road? That this doesn't, if it's not taken care of now, it's going to be an issue later, whether it's in 2029, 2028. So how do we prevent that?
How do you prevent it in the future? You need to actually change the society, right? So I think, and that's why we're going to be going so extreme. Number one, if we don't take care of it right now, it's always going to be a threat and the can is always going to get kicked down the road. If we just knock out one or two of their facilities, we degrade them, we set them back, or let's say we find the 200 and something odd freaking pounds of 60% plus enriched uranium that they have, and we end up blasting that crap all to hell and they have like a little dirty area for a while to clean up. Once they're done dealing with that, they're going to get right back into it, right? They're going to keep going.
I 100% agree.
The other issue that we end up having, which is why I think the way that they ended up describing it, the way Bibi ended up coming out today and the way he ended up describing it, was unless the U.S. goes in and physically dismantles everything, or to use Bibi's words, blows up, right? The translation, unless the U.S. goes up and goes in on the ground, invited, and blows up all of their freaking nuke sites, right? All of their enrichment and everything else that they have, unless the U.S. does that, then it's the deal's off.
Right.
Because there's nobody on the international community that we can trust, particularly the UN, to go in there and make sure it gets done right. And so the answer is that it is not going to be a short bombing campaign. We are at that point now where almost 2 weeks ago, they ended up saying Iran was 2 weeks out from having a nuclear weapon. And so we are now at that point where we don't have a choice, where our choice is quite literally to blow them off the freaking face of the planet and to like crumble everything. And if the U.S. plays its cards right, you got to remember that we're not the only ones with skin in this game. Israel's got a lot of skin in the game. And I do believe that Israeli Mossad has control of a lot of the little terror organizations that are on the ground over inside of Iran, that they're paying them off and everything else, probably funding a bunch of them, right? Because they're getting intelligence from somewhere. And I think that those little organizations, they have a massive issue with the government over in Tehran. In that when the U.S. is bombing the crap out of Iran, I would not be surprised if we see a large uprising or a large movement over inside of Iran as we start knocking off these key leaders and these key players.
I absolutely agree with you. Especially at the fact of, you know, lately everything's been, well, Bibi says jump and the United States says how high. And I think people are really mistaken how much of a joint operation this is going to be between the U.S. and Israel. As of right now, Iran has two options. The first option we know is come to the table, but what we don't know is the stipulations of what means come to the table. Mm-hmm. If they're going to have talks on Saturday, what does Iran have to give for us not to go in there? Well, is it hand over your...
No, those are the two things. He's got to have actual access to the U.S. going in and dismantling, disabling, blowing up their nuke sites. That's it. That's the option.
Right.
Let us have access with actual transparency.
Right. So it's option one is we're going to take care of it. And option two is we'll really take care of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. My other question for you is I've kind of seen it a little bit here and there throughout online, especially, you know, we're in this tariff standoff with China. There's been some timeframes pushed out on, you know, a possible Chinese advancement on Taiwan being 2027, 2028. Now, with the tariffs rolling out, it's being projected because obviously China's suffering a lot through this. People don't think that China's going to suffer, but they are. Mm-hmm. They're going to suffer with, obviously, their goods are going to decline. Their economy has already been slowing.
Did you see what happened
in Taiwan? No, I didn't.
Yen's crashing.
Yep.
It's crashing hard.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, this isn't favorable for China. What are the possibilities on if we do end up getting wrapped into a larger conflict in the Middle East? I've heard reports that they might have the stuff able and capable of pushing into Taiwan later this year, earlier and in advance.
Yeah, so let them try, number one. Number two, what are the odds of them doing it or trying? Like, actually doing it or trying?
I think, that's a tough question. I think either way, it's going to come down to it because, I mean, TSMC is the largest manufacturer of chips. Chips is what advanced technology. We're getting into AI. We've obviously seen it with Ukraine and Russia. Wars are being fought different. They're being fought with drones. They're being fought from the skies. And if China doesn't control it and we control it, then they'll never be able to become the superpower.
Right. So this
was when.
Correct. So I gotcha. So this is one of the big things that we were talking about last year, right? Of kind of like you could see the writing on the wall and how everything was building up, which is last year we had China getting kind of like antsy towards Taiwan as all of this other stuff was going on. But overall, big picture, China's been kind of like hiding out in the back. right? They've been this sleeping giant hiding out in the back behind of all this stuff. And Russia has kind of been like the big bad guy along with Iran over inside of the Middle East. And most people didn't even know, like, if you told them today why we're about to bomb the living hell of Iran, they wouldn't understand, right? They wouldn't get it. But China, they would also be extremely confused with why they'd be doing what they're doing. And it's because we're going after the freaking yen, right? We're going after the money because money is what ends up driving a lot of this crap.
Going after the petrodollar.
That's right. Now, if we end up blowing the shit out of Iran and it pisses off Russia and they do something stupid, which causes NATO or the U.S. to get much deeper involved in this conflict over inside of Ukraine, your odds of China screwing with frickin' Taiwan is going to go through the roof, right? But on the flip side, you can also look at it that way as well, because China's been that silent person over there for quite some time. If we end up bombing the crap out of Iran, and again, we're going after the dollar and we're screwing oil. Everybody's looking at the oil market right now, and it's something to really pay attention to, because the price of oil is dropping as well. It's dropping as well. And we could put a huge hurting on Russia just by tanking the price of oil, right? So by tanking the price of oil, we're also affecting the Russian war machine when we go after it. So if that's said and done, right, and that happens, China might go after Taiwan just to draw us and spread us out. And that's where the dangerous part comes in, because if the U.S. is overly committed inside of the Middle East, and that's why this incident with Iran also has to be handled like very, very hard. You know what I mean? Like very, very freaking, like a lot of freaking firepower, and just get it over and done with. Because if we don't, and we end up getting drawn into the Middle East, let's say we half-ass it, and Iran starts launching freaking like lots of ballistic missiles, or for some reason they've acquired a nuke, which they very well may. I wouldn't put it past them at this point. And they launch a freaking nuke, and we get involved over in the Middle East and actually have to put boots on the ground. That's a whole other issue. Now we're pot committed, and we're going to have all of our forces divided. Now, we're not screwed if that's the case. What do we have, 12 aircraft carriers or 11? It's 12. I keep going back and forth on 12 or 11. I forget. But either way, we've only got a couple committed over there right now, not to mention our nuclear subs and everything else, right? And so we do have flexibility. But I also heard a report today coming out of the Pacific Command that was saying that because of the amount of munitions that are currently being moved into the Middle East, PACOM's worried that they are not going to have enough munitions to deal with the Taiwan threat if that arises, or the China threat in Taiwan if that arises. And so while it is possible for us to do it, we got to start thinking steps and steps ahead of all of these evolving threats. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're already moving some stuff over there to start backfilling it, but you got to understand, man, like, we only have so much. Like, Biden kind of screwed us the way he trickled supplies into Ukraine, right? They're not going to mess with our strategic stockpiles that are scattered around the world, right? Like, that's not going to happen. But what is going to happen is our ability to reproduce and refill them is going to be the issue. And so even if we get bogged down in like a relentless campaign again in the Middle East, or end up getting bogged down over with like Ukraine and everything else, that opens up the door and possibilities for freaking China to ramp up, because we just won't have the bombs to drop. We won't have the bullets to shoot.
Yeah. So
we need to start ramping up production as well.
And I mean, strategically, what people are sort of missing as well is, going after Iran isn't just going to be us going after Iran. We're going to have to strategically coordinate with Israel, and they're going to have to hit Hezbollah in Lebanon. They're going to have to make sure that nothing happens with Hamas in Gaza. And we're already taking the Houthis teeth for teeth right now, because if we were to go after Iran, that's exactly what they would do. They would have all their proxy forces bolster, and they would all launch a coordinated, somewhat coordinated, as much as they could be, attack, and we would have to be facing multiple fronts while we're focused on one enemy. Right. But we're already doing that by targeting the Houthis, by dropping that pressure.
Yeah, we're dropping the pressure. So up on the screen right here, this is all of Iran's proxy organizations in the CENTCOM AOR, right? HTS isn't up there. Or, you know, the people that are essentially in control of Syria right now, that the new and upcoming ISIS. And we also have Turkey moving in there. That's a whole other situation to contend with. Kataib Hezbollah and Hezbollah itself are the only two real threats that are up there. And those are between Iraq and Lebanon. Now, Hezbollah over inside of Lebanon is pretty degraded because of the entire campaign that Israel has taken up over the last year. Okay, so they're degraded quite a bit, but it doesn't mean that they're still not a formidable force. They were the largest non-state terror organization last year, and I believe they still are, despite all of the freaking bombs that have been dropped on them. I believe they still are. And so it's still an issue. What do they have, like 70,000 fighters now or 80,000 fighters versus the 100 to 120 that they had, right? Not to mention a lot of those like Syrians and stuff like that, like after the fall of Assad that were fighting against him, okay? Like very well, or I'm sorry, fighting for him very well could have gone over. Like you can have all of these different jihadists like all over the place. Hezbollah is fighting against Assad. So is freaking HTS. Or I'm sorry, Hezbollah is fighting for Assad, blah, blah, blah. Hezbollah is fighting for Assad. HTS is fighting against him. So now that Assad is gone, you could have all of those people that were loyal to Assad going, I need a job, and they could be running over to Hezbollah to get a little jihadist job. So they could have already backfilled the ranks.
Right.
Because otherwise, yeah, they stay in country, they're all getting freaking shot up.
Well, I guess we'll see how Saturday goes, but you know, Trump's been saying it for a while. You know, we're closer to World War III than people would like to think, and the Middle right. East and the stability over there plays a huge part in what's going to go on and happen in the rest of the world. And it's not the fact that he campaigned on no new wars and now we're getting into a new war. You know, I commented earlier and I told you exactly what they're going to call it is a special military operation,
right.
And that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a war. We're not putting soldiers on the ground.
No,
we're not putting boots on the ground. It's going to be a air campaign, right. And they're going to bomb them into obliteration. That's all it's going to be.
Right.
But it's something that has to be done.
Right. And now's a good time for a regime change in Iran. There's a lot of people that are pissed off at Iran. They really are. So now's a good time for a regime change over there. I'm going to move over to, thanks for your questions though, brother.
Absolutely. Really thank articulate, you. Appreciate
really
good you
questions, me. Really valid points. No, thank you for coming up, man. I don't even know who is next. I think I threw Heather Scott in the mix next, not 100%, but Heather, we'll bring you up and then we'll work our way right to left and we'll go over to Mad Army Vet and Carmichael.
Okay. Hi, Matt.
Well, hello, ma'am.
I've been watching this whole thing and been trying to catch every one of yours and anybody else that's talking about this whole mess ever since basically Hamas pulled their crap in Israel. And my two main concerns right now is not really Iran, because I think we can take care of them without too much fuss, but my concern right now is that buildup in Egypt and then all those people waiting to come in, and it just right. seems like it's a trap. Well, we want to blow the shit out of Israel because we want to keep these forces in Gaza fighting Israel. So we'll let our people go in there and then they'll get shot at. And then we got a reason to start firing these tanks off. And I'm wondering why you think maybe as Trump sent a flag or a signal to Egypt to back off, because I guess it's our job to enforce that peace treaty.
Yeah, we did. We did send a flag for him to back off. And I think their major goal over there wasn't even to actually do that, just to put pressure to try to push another peace deal. And it worked. I think that was their goal.
But I don't think that there's another peace deal coming. I think Hamas knows its cards are played out. And I'm afraid that people are going to back off instead of finishing the job once and for all and letting Israel have some kind of peace.
Well, if we were to take Bibi at his word, which we should, he did say that was it. He said there's no more.
He did.
Yeah. So Egypt can whine and complain all at once. Jordan can whine and complain all at once. We could give them their 2 minutes of freaking fame and then move on with life. My concern really is if those Egyptian civilians do cut loose and end up making it over there, what I don't want to see is Israel cutting a bunch of them down. Because that's what's going to end up happening. And then we're going to have A-10s flying over and Burt and a bunch of tanks in the Sinai.
Yeah. The last thing they need is more needless bloodshed. I think Hamas has caused about enough of that already.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where diplomacy is going to come into play. And there's other things the United States can do. There's other things that the international community can do to put pressure on them. But the problem is you have like France's president that's freaking backing them up on this crap.
Yep.
That's the problem.
Well, I wonder if it's because there are so many Islamists in France right now.
Probably not, to be perfectly honest with you. Probably not.
Okay.
No, I think it's the liberal agenda when it comes, like, seriously, no joke. For some reason, all of this got divided by liberal agendas. I'm not trying to say that in any horrible way, but the war inside Gaza has become a ridiculous liberal agenda, trying to claim that there's this massive genocide that's taking place, and they just lack reality for what's going on. And so when new bombs are getting dropped and everything else, then that's what they run on. That's their contingency base, or their voter base, and they need to appease them. And I think that's literally what they're doing. I think they're appeasing their freaking voter base and all of that other crap. We'll see.
I also saw, just one last comment, I also saw that the Shah's son, he did an interview with Meyer Tusi on Tusi TV in London. And he's been, I guess, funding and helping communicate with the people in Iran to try and overthrow the IRGC. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you think maybe Trump has reached out to him, or maybe he's reached out to Trump or something, knowing that all this is going to happen, because he keeps talking about big things are coming, which makes me wonder if he hasn't been in touch with somebody over there, because he has this huge affinity for Netanyahu, because originally the Shahs and Israel weren't on bad terms.
I think what it's going to end up being, like I said, is not even the United States or anybody like that reaching out. I think kind of what I stated earlier, I think a lot of this crap, like, yeah, sure, like the rhetoric and stuff like that to like overthrow the IRGC, all of that comes in extremely handy. But I still subscribe to that. I think that they're going to handle it kind of from like behind and have, you know, Mossad work with their little people over there, run around and go help start the uprising. Now, when it comes down to what government will take place, you're probably correct there, right? Because in order to have those different things set up in place, you need to have leadership ready to go. And so if that is the plan, they're obviously not going to let some other radical extremists, they're going to want somebody that's pro-West to go in and take over. But that's where like the United States, and that's where Israel would come in and start backing people and financing them and everything else to get them up in power to make sure that they're good to go. That's where you take those other proxy organizations and go, cool, you're going to do that, but you're also going to answer to this guy.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Of course. That was a good question. Thank you.
Love your show.
Oh, thank you, Heather. Appreciate you. Who's up next? Who we got? Brian?
What's up, Matt?
What's up, brother?
So, the last few days I've been thinking about this when we're talking about Egypt and everything. Suez Canal, is it ran by Egypt or is it ran by a private party?
Egypt, as far as I know.
So why isn't Egypt helping kick the Houthis' butt in? Because they're affecting their GDP or their finances by the shipments having to take the long way instead of coming through the canal.
So that's a very good question, right? And the best answer that I've been able to get up with so far is that Egypt is now a BRICS nation. I think they joined it January of last year. All right. So Egypt joining BRICS, like I said, this little sucker being cut off over here in the middle. And again, as much as we like to think they're a friend, they're not. Like I said, they joined BRICS, but on top of all of that crap, they're also kind of sympathetic to what's going on over in Gaza. Over inside of Cairo, their housing, I want to say it's like 150,000, right around 150,000 Palestinians from Gaza right now that managed to flee and make their way out of there. And just as you see over in the Sinai Peninsula, where you have like the 10K plus or whatever the hell it was I reported on this morning that are getting ready to go riot on the freaking walls of Rafah, they're kind of sympathetic at the same time. So likely they're getting kickbacks from BRICS in some way, shape, or form to just kind of like make up for a lot of that crap. And maybe I ought to dig into the money of Egypt and see why they are allowing that. I've wondered that myself and haven't really done a deep dive into it, but that would make sense to me.
Yeah.
And
then the other thing I've got is I'm thinking that the bombing campaign on Iran is going to take a little longer than we all expect, just for the simple fact of the U.S. or Israel wants to make sure they know exactly where the Ayatollah is because in order to successfully change the regime in Iran, we're going to have to schwack the Ayatollah.
Sure. Yep. And that goes down to like the different trigger criteria and stuff like that to make sure we got good eyes on him. But I actually have a feeling we do know where he's at. I really do. Not just him, but a lot of the mullahs and all their little key leaders and shit that are over there running around. I think we do have a great fix on where he's at. I just think we've avoided messing with it because of the implications of taking out the Ayatollah.
Well, it's going to have to happen sooner or later, and might as well just deal with the repercussions now instead of the repercussions of prolonging it.
Well, and again, that's where all of your cards got to be aligned in order to do it, right? If you just schwack the Ayatollah, the IRGC remains intact, then the next person, whoever the hell it is that's in line, is going to end up coming up and taking his place, right? So yeah. we need to get an actual government in place, like we were just talking about, like there a minute ago, and make sure that when all of that happens, like you have all of those cards in place for that regime change to take and flip.
Yeah.
So
do it right, unlike how we did it in Iraq, unlike how it happened in Iraq.
That's exactly the problem from Iraq, and truthfully from Afghanistan as well.
Yeah.
Like we thought it'd be really cool to take a guy out of Chicago and dump his butt back in Afghanistan and be like, bam, you can run the country. No, you can't.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to have the right people in place that the people of that country are going to actually get behind, and making sure that you have enough like support over there behind them in order to get that sucker going. So, yeah, yep. Exactly. Can't just hang Saddam and expect everything to be okay. I mean, we should have, but then we turned it into our problem. That's fine.
Exactly. And that's why we were there for too damn long.
No, man. Kind of drives me nuts. Hey, that's just frustrating.
My theory on that, on Iraq, is what we should have originally done was gone and secured all the borders, gone in there, did the regime change, and got the hell out.
No, I mean, absolutely, but I don't think we'd be in a different spot today if we'd have done that. I think Iran would actually be deeper in control of the Middle East if we had done that. So, like while Iraq is not the most friendliest of the nations, the U.S., at least we're still conducting joint operations with them. We're still sharing intelligence. We're still going after these different terror organizations and everything else. So we'll take care of it.
Well, yeah, because the early 2000s is still fresh in their memory of if they fuck up, we could come in there right again and do the same thing again.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yes, sir. So, yeah, having Iran being able to project themselves across the Middle East like that is just not cool. That's just not good. We need to make sure we don't do that.
They've been doing it way too long.
Correct. Yep, correct. All right, let's go over to Mr. Carmichael. By the way, Brian, I love your freaking emoji that you got going on up there. Like your little fighting banana. That's freaking rad. I love that.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
It's going to be like that from here on out.
What the hell is the name of that dude? The one that's like, it's like that old freaking meme thing. He's like, you like smoking peyote? He's like, hell yeah.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Old school dude. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Who's up next? Right. Who we say, Aaron?
How are you, Matt?
Yeah, hey, good, brother. How are you? No, oh, okay. I remember it. He goes, you ever shot a machine gun on peyote? And he's like, hey, oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So first I have some statements to make, and then I have a few questions for you. So okay. First of all, I think it was a few days ago or something when Sandel and Trump met, I think yesterday, something like that. And I heard you were talking about how, like, Sandel was saying how he was going to take in the Gazans to Israel and how, like, they were talking about another ceasefire.
Yes.
I don't really think... And in my personal opinion, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but like they easily could have been talking about, okay, so we want to do this, we want to do this. We're having a press conference, so right. Let's just talk a bunch of BS, and they'll immediately think whatever they want about it. I can't see in a million years of Netanyahu taking in Gaza. I just can't see it, and I don't think he was serious. I mean, can you see that happening? Because I can't.
Can I see it happening? Taking them in? No. I think Israelis learned their lesson on October 7th
I'm saying. Like, yeah. So that was another thing. Second of all, I mean, we all know why they were there. Not because of any tariff shit, just because of Iran. So another point, it's kind of a question, but do you think that what the U.S. is kind of doing, they're giving a last ditch effort to see what Iran could do, and do you think that after the meeting happens Saturday, if Iran says no, which they probably will, and they're not going to comply, do you think Trump is going to take the same path as he did with Russia and get bitched by Putin, basically dragging him on and saying, oh, we'll do that, or they're just going to say, all right, well, we're not having month negotiation with you guys, either you say yes or no, and if they say no, do you think hours after there'll be bombs dropped on Tehran?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a say yes or say no, because at that point there's no. At the 2 week mark.
Then they'll be dragging too. Yeah, I mean, I just don't like what I was thinking. I'm like, I really hope Trump doesn't get bitched again because he's smarter than that. So I'm kind of thinking like, does he not know? Does he like Netanyahu has to tell him no? Like about same thing about like Syria. I feel like Netanyahu tells him like.
Well,
like, oh, that's not how it's going. That's not how it's going.
You got to think. You got to think too that Netanyahu also has cards to play, right? Netanyahu also has the ability to be like, okay, you guys don't want to join me in bombing the crap out of Iran. Well, you're gonna miss your shot.
Yeah,
and he can just go Leroy Jenkins, and force the U.S. to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, also, I feel like. Not that Trump doesn't understand the Middle East, but I feel like if he's having meetings with the Prime Minister of Israel, he's obviously going to be telling him his point of view and explaining it to him. So I definitely think he has people telling him, like, what's going on. I mean, like, Ukraine was different. But, yeah, I don't think he's just, like, doesn't know what's going on. Do you think that what's going on in Yemen right now, I mean, obviously the U.S. is trying to destroy the underground facilities. Do you think it's kind of a sign to Iran saying, like, in the beginning, I mean, we could have done that the first time we bombed them. There's no need for us to wait now to do it. You think they kind of, like, did it in a way where they're showing Iran, like, all right, your time's coming up. Like, and they're just showing, like, this is what we could do to you and what we will do to you if you don't, like, come by.
I guess I'm confused. Was there a question there?
Yeah, meaning like, do you think that they like did it in a specific order instead of just like they could have just done it in
when
the
it
beginning
came to
of
Yemen?
Like, use it. Yeah, like you mean like the bunker busters that we did today.
Yeah, I do. I think because of where those targets are at, they had to wait for a lot of those different munitions to get thrown in there just in case because you got to remember the actual real threat that we got to deal with ahead of time, which would be Iran. And so there's only going to be a limited number of those types of bunker busters that are over there. You know, we didn't have this big bombing campaign on that mountain, which at least one of those videos we saw a bunker buster go down, right? And so,
yeah,
we've got to wait to get those assets refilled or all those munitions like refilled and backfilled up. That way, when we drop them, we still have more because if Iran wants to FA and FO, we got to have enough munitions to go back in and start slamming them as well.
That's true. Another question I have.
Well, I'm gonna jump down. I'm gonna jump down to Carmichael. Yeah. I'm gonna jump down to Carmichael. I think he was. I don't know, man. I'm getting confused with the order. I gotta stop.
I was scared. I didn't mind.
I know. You started talking. I was like, whoops, that's my bad. So sorry about that, brother.
It's all good. I'm a subcontractor of a subcontractor of a subcontractor. Okay, I know what's being put out for the U.S. military today as far as sub hunting equipment. It's been exponentially increased, right?
Okay.
What do you think that means?
The trying to get more parts and pieces for sub hunters.
Well, they dropped them. You know what I'm talking about?
So why?
Because they dropped them out of helicopters. I mean,
so why?
Exponentially.
So why? Because of everything that we're currently doing over inside the Middle East directly impacts Russia. And while Iran might not have the threat to be able to do that, China and Russia most definitely do. And
I mean, like 1500% increase.
So there was a report about a year and a half ago, and I want to say it was TASS put it out, and everybody just kind of shook it off and was like, that's whatever. It's like Russian propaganda, right? That Russia had a nuclear sub like right outside of, you know, like U.S. territorial waters off the East Coast, like down in the Georgia area. And that had like popped up and the U.S. didn't know it was there. And so while we all made fun of the one going into Cuba last year that had like the panels and stuff falling off of it, reality very well could be that they very well could have popped up a nuke sub. And you got to remember, too, it was just a couple months ago that Russia had a freaking ship off the coast of California that issued a freaking NOTAMs and ended up shooting it down because they were blasting crap up and into orbit and testing out weapons and shit. And so Russia is a threat, whether we like it or not. Regardless of what 100%. We think about some of their other stuff, and so is China. And so if China and Russia are working together, which they are, then we have to take that seriously, and we have to be able to protect our coastline a hell of a lot better. And so what those as well could be is to help protect our territorial waters. Not to mention Not to mention we're looking at acquiring Greenland. That one I don't get, and that's where I'm like, okay, you guys got more info than me. I understand the map and how all that shit looks, but it could be for up there as well.
I guess what I'm saying is they're going to be splashing a lot of stuff down in the water, and I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. With the increase, I know what the production was before, and I know what it is now. I don't know. I guess it's, I know it's not related to the Middle East or anything like that, but they're increasing a lot of things.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah, no, and they're going to continue to do it. And I think that's your reason right there. You know, with everything that we're pissing off all of them. If you look at what we're doing monetarily speaking to China right now with the yen crashing and just increasing the tariff to 104% on them, the amount of like economic like funding, I guess, that like China was getting from being like the number one trade partner in all of these different countries around the world just over like the last 4 years alone, like it freaking skyrocketed. And that allowed them to get a lot of money and do a lot of different things and build themselves up pretty freaking steep. And right now, what these tariffs are going to do, like as far as China is concerned, is it's going to set them back quite a bit. And they're going to have to like start reassessing. Because while the US dollar is weak, so is the yen. And there was a lot of banks and things like that over the last year over in China, and a lot of people that ended up defaulting on like money and loans. And so they got a bunch of like, if you haven't looked at the amount of freaking like homes and apartments and stuff like that ended up getting half built because of the jacked up banking system in China, and the amount of buildings that are just getting ripped down left and right because of the amount of money that they lost. And now we're doing this to the yen. I brought this up before. There was two main reasons, not one, but two main reasons the U.S. ended up dropping nukes on Okinawa or over in Japan during World War II.
My son's actually in Okinawa right now.
Yeah. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? Two places we ended up dropping the nukes. There's two main reasons. The first main reason was that we definitely would have lost way more people, like the U.S. freaking assessments, the amount of people that we would have lost invading mainland Japan and forcing them to actually surrender. We'd have lost a buttload of people. But the other reason...
Well, they actually would have lost more people as well.
Correct. But the other reason also leads to the Cold War. And the whole reason we had the Cold War in the first place. We were buying to be the world superpower, but so was Russia. And after Russia played such a pivotal role, regardless of what we in the United States like to think, because we ended up rolling on Germany, but because the United or because Russia played such a pivotal role in the fall of Nazi Germany, Russia also had troops that were ready to go into freaking Japan, and they had attack plans and they were committed to it. And it was supposed to be just a couple days after we ended up dropping the nukes. And so we were faced with a decision. Lose a bunch of American lives, right? And by just going in haphazardly as quickly as possible, allow Russia to go in and do it on their own, in which case the U.S. dollar would not be what it is today. The United States would not look the way it does today. Or drop some nukes. And we chose to drop nukes and then went into Cold War with Russia, then collapsed the Soviet Union at the end of the day. And now everybody's looking to get that power struggle and switch back. So, I mean, the U.S. dollar, like the dollar and going after a country's currency, what we're doing over in China, that same exact threat that the U.S. was facing about worrying about Russia becoming the world superpower is what the U.S. is kind of looking at with China right now and being like, hey, and that's the last time we dropped a nuke. It's the only time nukes have been dropped. Everybody knows that. And so if we're dropping nukes back then to make sure we remain the world superpower, if China thinks that they can become the superpower or Russia does, we need to take care of that threat.
Well, I heard something today. I can't remember where it was at, but it was about Taiwan wanting to drop their tariffs saying that they could do the same thing China does for cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
Maybe they can. Maybe they can.
Well, maybe they probably can.
I mean, Temu can, I think I can live without it. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, people get their...
I've never ordered anything off there.
Kids like to get their little like Orba blasters, whatever the hell they're called off there. I don't know what the hell it's worth, but I'm sure you can get some night vision for a couple $100. It'll fail you in a day or two.
Right.
I don't know.
Matt. Well, move on to the next one. I just want to let you know what I knew about shit.
I appreciate you. Well, thank you very much, man. That's actually that's a very good point. And I personally, I am going to do, I don't know. Let me, I'll do one more and then I'm done. So I'm going to do one and done. Pulling the freaking top one up here. It looks like we got Jay Winch. So this will be Jay Winch. You're coming in. You'll be the last one, and then we'll move on and close out for the night.
Real quick, sir.
Send it.
Before we end, may I be the chaplain and pray after the end before we close out, sir?
Yeah, why not?
All right, cool. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah. Jay Winch, what you got, ma'am? Or sir? All right, Jay Winch is gone. Jay Winch is back.
I'm here. I just put myself on mute, so like I didn't get feedback while somebody else was chatting. I'd like to do two talking subjects, and I'll be quick about it. One being Iran. Do you feel that we should personally force and let out information like, I don't know, the M1 Abrams, the first time the number one armor was defeated in Sadr City was an Iranian weapon? Mm-hmm. Should we be putting that out there and forcing, like, look, they've been killing Americans since before 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need regime change. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that, number one, is tanks are going to die, right? Like, we've had tanks die over inside of Ukraine as well against Russia. That doesn't mean that we need to overthrow the Russian government. It's just one of those things that happens in a war. So do I think we need to force regime change because of that? No. Like, there's only so much armor that you can put on a tank, and there is definitely ways to penetrate it. And there's ways that you don't even have to penetrate armor in order to disable a tank. And so do I think that that is such a big deal to overthrow a government? No.
I guess I worded it wrong. Not so much the overthrowing of the regime there just because of, like, what's going on now.
Okay.
The amount of just hate and chaos they're causing over there.
Yeah.
Like, that, to myself personally, I think, yeah, like, as a vet, I don't want war. I really don't. But also as a vet, something needs to change.
This within itself, what's up on the screen of all of Iran's proxy terror organizations, absolutely. All of this has destabilized the entire region, and it's allowed Tehran to do a bunch of crap that I don't think the world realized that they were capable of doing the moment all of this went off. I think for this reason right here, it absolutely makes sense. Not to mention, now they're talking about having a nuclear weapon. They are very close, and the U.S. intel estimates and everybody's putting them from like right outside of it. This is what Iran did as a non-nuclear state. Imagine Iran as a nuclear state.
Case tactical, something smaller. And then my second part is the whole China-Russia thing. I'm totally on the boat, like, again, I don't want war, but we can't have a nation that physically has slaves right now and is using that as manpower to create stuff. And oh wait, they're also physically forcing people to donate their organs. Like, a nation like that should not be as powerful as it is. What's your thoughts on that?
That gets into a huge battle of semantics when we go into it. Like, we can start pointing out a lot of countries around the world, unfortunately, where there is a buttload of stuff going on that we would not be happy with. If we actually open our eyeballs to some of the stuff that was taking place over inside of Africa, and some of the, like, truthfully, and some of the back roads, like some of these European countries, and actually paid attention to it, we wouldn't want those countries as powerful as they are either.
Yeah, I totally agree on that too. So it's
How do we?
It's a shit show everywhere.
Right. So you can do what you can do to the best of your ability, right? Because if America was to go after every country with that mind frame, because me, honestly, I would have to apply that across the board. And that would include Iran. That would include Syria. Pretty much the entire Middle East, we'd have to go and freaking overrun again, right? To try to get rid of that. And I think that within itself, there's only so much that we could do. Do I think that we should be doing trade with them as much as we have? Absolutely not. Do I think that we should be doing, you know, as many things? But then the semantics ends up coming out. Okay, well, what good has came out from doing trade with them? How much has the U.S. economy grown from doing trade with them? And how many people have we been able to help because of that? And I don't think there's a way to measure that, man.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, do you allow this to happen versus do you try to stop from that from happening? And then you had to face the other edge of it.
Right.
I've personally seen, I grew up in the, you know, Motor City area and stuff like that back before NAFTA was passed. And I seen what happened when, and that's the reason I also kind of agree with the tariff stuff that are going on. What happened as soon as you had all these companies like, oh, wait, we can go here and build it for 1/10 of the price and, right, you know, take it out of our pocketbooks. Like, it destroyed entire, mm-hmm, not just little towns, but cities and states for that happening.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just one of those things. It's, again, it's a double-edged sword. Like, there's poor countries out there. Like, one of the questions that was asked during the live stream about the tariffs, like, well, you got a nation that's super poor and they can make the clothes for cheap. Okay, I get that, but you shouldn't be charging us 50 points on something to put there.
Correct.
So you can get rich, but your people have to pay more for it. Like, mm-hmm, here's the line. You want to charge us 5 points? We'll charge you 5 points. Right. You want to charge us 50? We'll charge you 50. And I think that's the way it should be, but I don't think that'll ever happen because of greed, pride, and envy.
Yeah.
But I'll leave it there. I know you said you're wanting to shut it down, and I don't want to keep you up all night because you get up early and
it's
do your thing. So
believe it or not, this starts about 6 a.m. in the morning and it doesn't end until 10:30 at night. So 10:30 at night, depending on the day. So, but well, I appreciate you for jumping in there, Jay Winch. Thanks for the questions. Chris, Sir Chaplain, you are up, my friend. Chris, wasn't that your first time you ended up asking coming up here to do this anyways? Once upon a time?
Yes, sir, I did.
I remember that. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, by all means, my friend, go for it.
Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God, and God Almighty, the one true God, capital G, I thank you right now for being you, God. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your mercy, God. I also thank you for your discipline. Lord, right now I ask for peace and solid sleep for everyone here, God, for everyone. I thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Peace. And God, I thank you that you're God and I'm not. So right now, Lord, I thank you for Matthew Tardio. I thank you for what he does. I thank you for all the true supporters and what we do. And Lord, and everyone out there, just know who you pray to, your answers come the way they are through actions as well. So God, I thank you. And I thank you for my brother in the Marine Corps, what he does. And I thank you for all the armed services, every single one of them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know what, Chris, like really
thank
interesting.
You, Matt.
No, thank you. Really interesting thing, right? I was talking with a friend over the phone the other day and we were talking about like human trafficking and stuff like that. He was telling me a story about his buddy that was running around in South America, Mexico, things like that, going after some of these human traffickers and actually doing like legit going and pulling people out and blast them in the face and stuff. And after like his first couple months of doing it, right, and this is a very accomplished military individual, we'll leave it at that. And he said after the first couple times that he was over there doing his thing, that he ended up basically like throwing his hands up to God and being like, God, how in the world could you allow this to happen? And as the story goes, the guy was like, he swore that God whispered in his ear and said, no, how could you allow this to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I went through as a child, you know, some things we can't say on certain things, but through satanic rituals as a kid and stuff that made me not know the true God.
It's wild,
and not Jesus. And to stand here now, not just now, and like, no, just to be who I am now and been through crap as a child that was not my fault.
Yep.
But still choose forgiveness, because bitterness turns into bad things.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest
things. And my parents and I did it together. So, like, you know, yeah. No, so I really do thank you, man. And, yeah, I do. I really do. And right now I'm at my place of work upstairs. It's closed at a bar, and it's right across the street from Virginia Tech, where they do a lot of pro-Pally stuff. And it's just like, that they like to eat here, but they don't know I get to pray for them in the middle of night downstairs. And they have no clue. They have no clue.
That's one of the hardest parts, thank you, man. Sir. Gosh. Yeah.
Like, no, I got to pray for him, man, because, you know, I understand, and I live across the street. I understand, sir, but you know what? The biggest thing, we do not fight in flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities in this world and next. So,
love it,
and
man.
I didn't really want to get into the prayer of higher beings, but thank you, sir.
Yeah, brother. Thank you guys very much. Thank you.
Everyone, y'all have a great night. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us tonight over on the Speak the Truth podcast. I will see you all bright and early. Happy again. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, 9 a.m.